We're going to do our quick prayer time in a second, but while it was just still fresh in my mind, you know, the Bible that we have, the people, the early Christians would have never had one, obviously, and would have never intended there to be one. So the idea that there was going to be this book that had all the answers would not have even crossed their minds. They all assumed that Jesus was coming back any day. Paul writes it. So in these letters, he even says about adequate and glory in verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's ironic then that people use Paul's own letters then later to persecute. Hey, Daniel, good to see you, man. You should be home resting. But once again, we see that the answer, the path, the way is the Spirit of God. The Bible has a lot of good stuff in it, but it's not going to save you. It's not going to bring you where you got to go. Only the Spirit can do that. The letter kills. When the Americans enslaved people from Africa, they used the Bible to justify it. The Bible says slaves obey your master, so I don't know what you guys are complaining about, right? When the Crusaders killed all the Muslims, said, the Bible says the Jericho, the walls came crumbling down. So I don't know what you guys are complaining about. And we all readily know that the Lord would never have us commit such atrocities. So how do we reconcile that? Those of us who want to follow Jesus, how do we reconcile this idea of a high-minded purpose? Well, you got to look inside. You got to follow the Spirit. It's the only way. You got to determine for yourself what's the truth and what's not the truth. There are many directions you can take, but only one way you can go. Even Paul said it. So when we read later, when Christians are talking about this and that, and teachers talking about how kids shouldn't be reading Harry Potter or anime, you got it all wrong. You're spending all of your time looking at this and that and the other when your work should be here. Anyhow, so we're going to do that work before I put everybody to sleep. We're going to take a few minutes, 3 to 4 minutes. My lovely mother is going to accompany us. You can't pray to just silence. I suppose you could, Steve, but would you want to? So we're gonna pray for like 3 or 4 minutes. It helps me personally if I kind of just focus on my breathing for a moment. Because if I don't, all of the cares of the world begin to intrude, and then my prayer becomes like a list of things that I want. And there's nothing wrong with praying for things that you want, but first you got to be ready to listen. So we're going to listen. Thanks, Mom. I could listen to Mom play all day. Quick reminder. I might say this every Sunday. Because I got to remind myself. Everything that I say up here, I would never mean to offend. I'm only on my own path, my own journey, and I'm sharing it with you. That's why I love that, you know, Judd opens and prays and Emilio reads. And if you ever have a word that you feel like you gotta, that you want to share, come on up. But it's so easy to, like, look at the things that are lacking, right? And think about, like, oh, well, you know, sometimes I think about how small the church is. Dad used to do this all the time. But remember, this is the best Sunday that we've ever had. That's the best ringtone I've ever heard. It's the best Sunday because if there are prerequisites to how good your day is, they'll never all be met. And even when they are, that will pass. And then you'll think about how good the last Sunday was. Would I like to be singing with my sister Darcy right now? Yeah, you bet. Would I like to be listening to my father preach? Yeah, you bet. But even in spite of all those things, this is the best Sunday. I miss Ashley. She's cleaning up her children's puke. God help her. This is the best Sunday. The merchant asks for the best piece of meat. And the man says they're all the best piece of meat. It's so easy for us to trivialize or to cynically look at these things that we know to be true and give ourselves the excuse to not have the best Sunday. Don't let the enemy lie to you. He's lied to me for decades, saying that this is what I need to be happy. None of it. Irrelevant. Erroneous. On all counts. It's the best Sunday. And this is going to be the best sermon you've ever heard, Steve. I was listening to this Audible book that I love. And, you know, it's about, like, the history of the church and things like that. And the people who lived back in the day, because they didn't have all the science that we have, were always looking for the divine in everyday things. So if you went outside and you saw, like, a crow resting on the fence, you'd be like, oop, that's bad, because crows are scavengers and that means death. But if you, like, were walking out and you saw, like, an eagle flying by the sun, you'd be like, yes, it's going to be a good day. So there are these divine things, and they had divine numbers of three. And you see it even in the Bible, right? Jesus is in the grave for 3 days. Jonah's in the whale for 3 days, right? We have three parts of the Trinity, right? Three, 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 right? Past, present, and future, right? Ego, super ego, and id. It comes up over and over and over. But what I would like to think of how we can maintain the best day ever is how we think, how we speak, and how we act. The most important part, in my mind, or the most important aspect is the first, which is thinking. How you think about the world is how you live your life. So working at Trader Joe's and working as a teacher gives me a lot of insight, and I see a lot of different people, right? So one of the favorite pastimes of teachers is to complain about children. It's our favorite thing. We get together and we trade war stories. Oh, dude, you'll never believe the email I got from this parent. As if I didn't say it on the parent. Right? And we go on and on and on. The injustices of the world. And I told him to do it, but you'll never guess what happened, Steve. He didn't do it. And then we talk and talk and talk and talk. We are seeing our jobs as a negative thing. And then wouldn't you know it? Our jobs become a negative experience. I have customers who come into Trader Joe's, and there's bountiful goodness everywhere you go. But if there's one thing that they wanted that we don't have, you better believe we're going to hear about it. Right? I got the milk, I got the flour, I got the pasta, I got the cheese, I got everything, but you guys didn't have organic brown eggs. a person like that, that we all can be that. But if you have a mindset, a viewpoint of looking for things that aren't here, that becomes your reality. If you think the world is wonderful or you think the world is trash, either way, you're right. You just choose what kind of world you live in. So you can turn on the news and listen to all of the flooding and the hurricanes and the riots and all of those things and think about them and think about them and think about them and think about them. Hear the latest news report. Kids these days, are they spending too much time on their phone? Halloween's coming up. Did you know that drug dealers are trying to give kids candy that's really drugs? And they create this world of fear where everyone's out to get them, where the world used to be great when we were young, but now it's terrible because kids are on the internet. It's your own thoughts that create the world that you're living in. People know this deep down. But they either know it but don't believe it, or they give themselves the excuse because it's hard to be conscious of your thoughts. There's a Bible verse about this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. Jesus says, the disciples are asking him about the commandments. In the past, the commandment, there were no police, so God was like the police. So if you were an adulterer, then this, and then if this and that. So they're asking him, well, what do you think about this? And he said, You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. I have heard this verse a million times since I was a child. I do not believe that Jesus wants us cutting our eyeballs out. And I also don't believe that he is saying that if you lust after a woman, you're going to hell. Otherwise, I'm doomed, Hector. The point is, if you are a person who is thinking negative thoughts, thinking bad thoughts, but just not doing them, you're still living in a world where that exists, right? If I'm looking, when you work at Trader Joe's, all the girls come just from working out in their workout clothes and yoga pants. If I'm the kind of person that is looking at that woman and objectifying them, regardless of my actions, my own brain has created the scenario and I'm not conscious of the Holy Spirit. Did that make sense? If I'm thinking about the thing that I want to do, I really want to do this bad thing, but I'm not going to do it. Sure, that's better. If I'm thinking about how I'd like to kill the people in traffic in front of me, sure, it's better not to do it, but I'm living in a world where I'm looking at everybody in a negative, unconscious thought pattern. Did that make sense? So it would be better for me to not look at all than to look and think these thoughts. I feel like maybe I flubbed that at the end. You may have different difficulties. Maybe you look at food a certain way. Maybe you look at the people around you in a certain way. Maybe you look at money in a certain way. But if your thoughts are not conscious thoughts, thinking of what the Holy Spirit would have you do, then you're creating a world in which life is hell. When I was a younger man, I was angry a lot. And I would always be looking at people, thinking kind of angry thoughts. I'd see like a 12-year-old kid wearing a Tupac shirt. And I would think, like, what do you know about Tupac? Right? Go off on these little rants. I don't know if you guys do this. I do this thing all the time. Where I go off on these self-righteous speeches about all the people. I did this all the time back in the day. And then somebody would cut me off in traffic. And I'd think, what an idiot. Where did you learn how to drive, right? I'm thinking all these thoughts. And then, you know what I should have done? And then the person comes out. And you'll never believe it, that when I was thinking those thoughts all the time, I happened to have all of these negative occurrences in my life. One time I came out of GameStop, and I was already in this mindset. And this older lady had parked, and I didn't see her, I was walking out, and she opens her door right into me. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And then this old lady started cursing at me. And then I started cursing back at her. I was driving another time, a guy cut me off. He got out of his car and started screaming, so I rolled down my window. He tried to jump in the car to get me. I pulled him, tried to get him in so I could. Do you understand? I was living in hell. I was living in a world where I was always thinking the worst of people. It's only since I've begun to start to think about trying to monitor my thoughts, trying to be conscious of my thoughts, slowing my breathing down, praying to the Lord, trying to hear the witness of the Holy Spirit. And the more that I'm able to do that, the quieter my thoughts become. The more I'm able to be patient with people, the more I'm able to be loving with them. And since I have done that, all of those negative things that used to happen in my life have subsided. Did that make sense? I've stepped out of hell into heaven. My own thoughts have become peaceful and loving. And to the degree that they are, my life becomes peaceful and loving. If you're the person who thinks bitter thoughts, you will live a bitter life. And it's better for you to pluck out your eyes because your life will be miserable. Practicing conscious thought. Practicing slowing your breathing, praying to the Lord, hearing the witness of the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you. Last night I had my niece over for a sleepover, and I had kind of a headache that was like a toothache. It's kind of weird. And so I was in a bad mood. And I was praying to the Lord for help, for healing in my tooth, and for patience with the girls who were bouncing off the walls. But because my tooth was kind of hurting, I couldn't help but think about the pain and how irritated I was. And the more I started to think about the pain and how irritated I was, then I'd start to think about, why can't those girls just be quiet? And then I went in there and told them, hey guys, I'm just not really feeling well, and I'd really appreciate it. Play video games, go outside, you know, I'll buy you candy, what do you want? Give me some peace. And then I'd go back in my room. Sure enough, here comes the noise. And then I'd start thinking, don't they know? I just told them that I was, don't they, all of the things that I do for them? And it was going and going and going. So instead of my life being this place where I'm enjoying my daughter whom I love and my niece whom I love, the enemy had robbed me. I was unable to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and all I could think about was how much my head hurt, how much my tooth hurt, how ungrateful these little girls were, and my life became that experience. It was only when I was able to remind myself and pray to the Lord, the answer's always the same. The answer never comes back and says, yeah, Gabe, you're right. They are being really bad. The Holy Spirit brings that emotion of, you love them. Your tooth hurts. Be patient. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand? Whether I was mad or happy, they were still playing Roblox and having a good time. It's only my world that changes. So, thought. The next one, speech. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, he's speaking to the Pharisees, how can you, being evil, speak of what is good? For the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When I was a young man, my father was very strict about words, right, Mom? I remember Judd got grounded once for like 2 weeks because he said the SH word, Brennan. And Kendra got grounded one time for saying a bad word. But as Dad got older and went on fasts and became more loving, he kind of grew soft on us with our language. And when I was playing basketball, I used to curse. And I didn't think anything of it. And if you use swear words, this is not a condemnation for you. This is my own personal experience. But I noticed that I liked to swear because I thought it was cool, because I thought I was a rebel, because I thought it was like it would help me in my flow of words. Those of you who don't curse, the F word could be an adverb, an adjective. It can be a verb. It can be an. You can use it in any other way. And as I swore more and more, I found it was more difficult to stop. And now as I find myself a person who's on this journey, I have become aware that for me personally, I have to be more mindful of my words. Saying a swear word does not make you a sinner in my mind. But if you're the kind of person that uses foul language often, that's because you're thinking foul thoughts. Not all the time, but for me personally, I find that the more that my language is unguarded, my thoughts are unguarded as well. If you're in a place of peace and love and coexistence with the Holy Spirit, you will not often finding yourself needing to swear. Did that track? If you're thinking negative thoughts, regardless, aside from the swear words, if you're thinking negative thoughts, negative words will come out. They're part and parcel. Jesus says, where your treasure lies, there your heart will lie also. So the teachers coming together, we're thinking these negative things about the kids. Not all the time. It's a long day. It's the end of the week. We're thinking these thoughts about this child who's not turning in their homework and the mother who sends us the email. And then we're speaking these complaints. Unconscious thoughts reveal unconscious words. So if I can be thoughtful about what I'm saying, then that will mean that I'm being thoughtful of what I'm thinking. If before I go and yell at the girls for being loud, I can pray to the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, help me, give me peace and understanding for them right now. If I'm able to do that, then when I go to speak to them, I'll say, kids, I love you. Would you like something to eat? And I come in a place of patience and understanding. But if I'm thinking all those thoughts, then I burst through the door. Can I get a little peace and quiet in this place? My thoughts create my words. When Jesus talks to the Pharisees, he says it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out. If you're thinking bad thoughts, you will say bad words, regardless of what the actual words are. If you're a person who is arrogant, you will come out and always be arrogant. You'll speak arrogant words. I say this as an arrogant person. If you're the kind of person who is the kids say spill the tea, but I think those of us who are not kids say gossip. If you're gossiping about everyone else, that doesn't make you a bad person, but it makes you a person who's not thinking of their own thoughts and actions and words. So I get together with everybody else and I think, oh, dude, did you hear? And my thought has left the Holy Spirit. Lastly, action. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Prayer and the Golden Rule. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. We've spoken about making prayer a daily part of your life. I'm going to increase my prayer time. And I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, Brennan. Dad used to pray for hours every day. And I would think to myself, how on earth could you pray for hours every day? 30 seconds of prayer, Steve, and I was out as a young man. I've prayed for everybody that I can think of, I'm done. And I avoided it. But now as I've grown older and some would say wiser, my prayer time has become a moment of contemplation, of reflection, and of peace. And I pray every morning. First, I focus on my breathing, and then I begin praying for all of the people that I know and love, which includes all of you. Taking that time, that action, to do it sets me up for success. But I usually only pray in the morning. My new action is I'm going to pray in the afternoon. For 15 minutes. And I can guarantee you that my life will improve. You know how many times I've thought about praying more? A million times. But I almost never do because I think I got a lot to do. But it's not until you enact the change that you ever get any progress. I'm going to pray for 15 minutes every afternoon at 4 o'clock so that I can think godly thoughts, I can speak godly words, and I can back that up with godly behavior. I come up here and I preach every Sunday and I do my best to live a good life, but it's difficult. It is so tough. This week, I had a very difficult time with a coworker. And I felt like they weren't doing their job. And their job made my job much harder. Just to give you an idea of how much harder my job has become, Hector, this Wednesday, I will take a group of seventh graders up to Sacramento. We will be going on a Greyhound bus at downtown Los Angeles. Me and Miss Wanda, ride or die. And then we will be alone with these seventh grade children until Friday, at which point we will get back to the Greyhound bus station in downtown at 11 o'clock in the evening. And I didn't find this out until Friday. I thought we were taking a chartered bus like we used to. So I was going along, thinking godly thoughts, saying godly words, doing godly things. Just being godly, Victor. You know how it is. But then as soon as this torpedo hit me, all godly thoughts gone. I started thinking, what? How could she? She's the one. And then I started thinking of all of the times. The devil reminded me all of the times where I felt I was working harder than other people. And then the more I started thinking that, my world became this negative comparison. And then when I went out for lunch, I was talking to one of my fellow coworkers, and she said, hey, are you ready for Sacramento? Not knowing that she just broke the levee and all of the words of my pity party. Dude, you will never believe. First, I got to do this and this and this and this. And she said, I can't believe that. And I said, yeah, I know. And then we started going back and forth. And then the rest of my day became that. I texted Judd, can you believe this? On and on and on and on. That does not change the fact that this Wednesday, I will be going on the Greyhound bus. All of my thoughts of pity, all of my words and my diatribes, nothing changes that. So it is up to me to change it for myself. If I can be the kind of person that hears any news with peace, understanding, and love, there is no news that will disrupt me. But I can only maintain that thought process if I'm the kind of person that prays every day. And evidently, praying for 30 minutes in the morning every day is not good enough. I know this because this Friday, I found it out. So I can continue to throw this party, this pity party, to which you are all invited. You can all feel bad for me as I feel bad about myself. Or I can buck up, go on the trip because it's going to be good for the kids and it's going to be good for me. And I can be a loving representative of Jesus Christ everywhere I go, regardless of what anybody else does. That is the truth. That's the secret. It unlocks it. If I can pray and get myself to a position where I am hearing the Lord's advice on a regular basis, then it does not matter what happens. When they say, oh, I heard my buddy got sick, instead of thinking, wait, what if he gets sick? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And going down this whole line of fear, I rest easy in the knowledge that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. When I get the envelope from the credit card that's all red, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I tend to business. I live my life as well as I can, and I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When the children are bouncing off the wall, I listen to the Holy Spirit, and I love them. Not for them, for myself. Because if I'm a person of peace and love, then that will radiate out from around me. If you go in to talk to children and you are like a cat on a hot tin roof, they can read it, they can feel it in their spirit, and you come at them, they are not going to receive that message, regardless of how right you are. If you come into your boss ready to lay into them, you may not know it, and they may not know it, but they can feel the spirit from which you come. Either make the tree good or make the tree bad. And I want to be a good tree. I come to church not because it makes me better than anybody else. I come to church because when I leave this place, I feel full up, good to go. And for a person who didn't feel like that for decades, let me tell you, it is like water to a man dying of thirst. It's food for the starving. It is the medicine for the illness. I do not know what's going on in your life. I pray for you, that much I can say. But what I do know is that your life will be good or bad proportionate to how much time you spend listening. This is known across the universe. The Muslims say, listen to Allah. The hippies say, listen to the universe. I say, listen to Jesus Christ. We're all talking about the force that wants us to love each other. Except for that guy. We give ourselves that excuse. Put your nose to the grind, your hand to the plow. The Lord says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. It's only because we haven't been following him long enough that we think it's hard. The internet even says, be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah, that's a bunch of load. And we divide ourselves, we segregate ourselves, we put ourselves into groups. And then we think negative thoughts, we say negative words, and we live negative lives. But not me, dude. Not us. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it all back. Because it's mine. It's yours. Every thought, every word, every day. It's the best day. It's the best Sunday. Believe it or not, at your own peril. People listen to that, they think, what a load. And then they go out and be miserable, fight with their spouse, argue with their boss, yell at the people in traffic. You got to figure it out? I know I don't. So I'm going to hold on. He's the vine, I'm the branches, and I got a death grip. I'm holding on, brother, because it is tough out there sometimes. I was right about the bus. That's what even makes it harder. It's so much harder to, like, when you're right. I was right about the kids. I mean, I do everything. See, just play around. But it's up to me. It's incumbent upon me to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if you're waiting for other people to change, to make you happy, brother, let me tell you, you're going to be waiting. But if you can change, if you can live your life in a way that is in accordance with the Holy Spirit, then you walk through this world impervious to the slings and arrows. I used to drive my car like a maniac. It was like I had to, I was defusing a bomb. I drove like over the speed limit, waving in and out, cursing at all the people. Like, don't they know I have someplace to be? I gotta go get eggs at the grocery store. Move it. I have to change. I enter my car and I try and be conscious of my thoughts, because that's when the Lord reveals to me his guidance. So I get in my car, and when I feel myself getting upset, that's when I try and pray, Lord, help me. And he reminds me, we're all people trying to go to a place. Be kind and loving. Love your neighbor and love God. And when I'm able to do that, it doesn't matter if the traffic. And I just exist in this peace. When the kids are being disobedient, Lord, please help me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he reveals to me, and then I'm loving to them. And when I calm my own mind, you'll be amazed at what they do. It's so good. So good. I was a man who was anxious, always thinking about what people will think. Even when I began preaching here, what are they going to think? What do you have to say, Gabe? What are they going to do when they find out? Look at all of the things that you've done. They could point at each and every one of them. And I came up here shook, afraid, trying not to make a mistake. But the Lord revealed to me that truth can come from anywhere. It can come from a Buddhist monk in New Delhi. It could come from a hippie in San Francisco. It can come from a dude in Los Angeles. The truth is here, and it's here. He's the vine. Hold on to him. Make it a daily practice. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night. If you think of it as a chore, it will be a chore. But if you can realize the truth of it. If you were hungry, you wouldn't think about eating as a chore. Realize in your mind that the Lord loves you. And then speak with him. And your life will open up. And the more it opens up, you're going to think, like, dude, I'm going to do this more. And so I've been praying for 30 minutes every day for a couple of years now. And because I'm a slow learner, Steve, it's taken me that long to be like, hey, man, I should do this more often. And I'm going to do it this week. And I'm not going to let excuses. Yes, I work multiple jobs. Yes, I raise multiple children. But that's all the more need to pour it on, Steve. And I'm going to pour it on and on and on and on. I'm going to pour it on because it's mine. And it feels so good. I come in here on Sundays. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For 35 years, I sat right back there, frowning my frowns and thinking my thoughts. And then going outside and living this miserable life. See, Dad, if Jesus really loved me, would all this bad stuff happen? Lies. But I'm not going to let him anymore. I don't need money to be happy. I don't need people to be happy. I don't need any of those things to be happy. The Lord makes me happy, and all of everything else is gravy. The Lord makes me happy and my kids are awesome. The Lord makes me happy and my job is awesome. The Lord makes me happy. My car is awesome. The Lord makes me happy, and it's the best Sunday ever. Welcome. It's the best. Ash, sorry, you missed it. But she's having the best Sunday, hopefully. This week, have the best week. This week, find a routine. I use my phone because I'm addicted to it. Find whatever works for you. My phone tells me every morning, time to pray. And then maybe I'm brushing my teeth. Maybe I'm yelling and cursing at my kids. Just joking. Maybe I'm thinking unconscious thoughts. The phone comes off and I say, oh yeah, that's right. And then I go into my room. I close the door because the cats only come into my room when I'm praying. And then I take that time for 15 minutes. I control my breathing and try and hear the word of the Lord that tells me, that feeling that says that I've grown to know, that you've known your whole life. And then the next 15 minutes, I go through my list. I pray for myself first, for patience and love, for my body to be healthy and strong. Then I go through my family. Kids first, Grandma, Kendra, Judd, Ashley, Jason, Lily. Then I go through all of the people of the congregation. Then I go for my jobs. And then I open my eyes, restored, recharged, ready to get after it. And now, chapter 2 is in the afternoon. I'm going to do it. So when I get home and I'm tired, and the construction and my neighbor, who even works on Sunday, impervious, bulletproof Teflon, I will be. And I'll be able to live the life that I've always wanted, the life that I could have had 41 years ago, the life that I can have right now, the life that you can have. Make it a priority. Have the best week ever. And when you come back next week, tell me about it. And then we'll do one of those 80s, like, high fives. And we'll grow, and it's going to be awesome. Because if your happiness is not dependent on anything else, then you always have it. And then you can come in here, and whether you see long-lost friends or the same old face, it's the best Sunday ever. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll be excused. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Help us this week, Lord. Remind us. Help us to be conscious of our thoughts so that we can think loving, kind, peaceful thoughts, so that we can say loving, kind, peaceful words, and so that we can behave in a loving, kind, and peaceful way. Guide us this week. Help us to see the pitfalls of the enemy. Help us to make prayer time a priority, and help us to have the best week ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.